Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Kama Daf Chof Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur will begin at the beginning of the Gemara that you'll find right after the Mishnah, 7 lines from the top of Daf Chof Hey. In the Mishnah, we were exposed to the opinion of Rebbe Tarfon that holds that Keren in the Reshus HaNizik, the damage of Keren, where an animal does something, damages through unusual behavior, in a private domain, the owner of the animal will have to pay full damage, even if it's the animal's first time in damaging thusly. The Gemara raises a problem with this approach, and the problem is that if Rebbe Tarfon is holding that you'll pay full damages for Keren in a private domain, and he derived that, as we saw in the Mishnah, from the laws of Keren in a public domain, well, Keren that damages in a public domain, the unusual form of damage of an animal, for example, goring, in a public domain in a Rishus HaRabim, the requirement upon the owner is to compensate only to the tune of Chatzi Nezik, half damages. How then can information that is derived from a source, how can the derived information be more extensive, be more, in this case, more stringent than the information in the source? The source being Keren in Rishus HaRabim, which pays only half damages. How then can Rebbe Tarfon, through logic, reach a conclusion that Keren in a private domain is going to pay full damage? Now we look at the side of the more narrow margin where we have one of the features of our Gemara markings, Shas Ozer, which reads the nosei, the topic heading, in one word, dio. Dio means it is enough. Let it be enough that the derived information is similar to the source of the information and not something more extensive or greater. Well, we note Rebbe Tarfon lo darshinon dio. Rebbe Tarfon is of the opinion that we will not actualize this principle of dio. Hecha de mafrich hakal v'chomer, where information that I derive through kal v'chomer logic would be information that I could have discovered, could have known from a verse. Klomar, ekev hadayo, as what we are now saying, is that as a result of applying the dio, lo yishur shum limud mea kal v'chomer, I'll have nothing left from the kal v'chomer logic. This discussion sounds a bit abstract. We'll see more about this in the Gemara itself. But Rebbe Tarfon is very concerned that when there is a chance to make a kal v'chomer, to use kal v'chomer logic, that you in fact do so. If the information through the kal v'chomer logic is information that's already contained in a verse, so that would render the kal v'chomer that appears, that we're able to make, useless. So what does Rebbe Tarfon therefore say? That the kal v'chomer must manifest itself, even if the resultant information the derived information turns out to be more extensive, more stringent, or more extreme than the source of the Kal Vachomer. In our case, we're dealing with Karen. How much shall I pay in a private domain? Well, Karen pays half damages. And as far as the Torah is concerned, the half damage payment applies not only in a public domain, but the half damage would apply in a private domain as well, being that the Torah doesn't qualify where the half damage is the payment rate. But now, once we know that, or once we have a Kal Vachomer, as we saw in the Mishnah from Shane and Regel, what information will I derive concerning the Karen in the private domain? If I'm going to leave Karen in a private domain at merely half damages, well, that information I could have figured out just by the Torah itself, the verses, the scripture itself. What about the Kal Vachomer? So Rabbi Tarfon says, the Kal Vachomer in such a case enables me to go even further than the original source. On the other hand, the Rabbonon, we've written on in our margin, Tamid yesh lidrosh dayo afilu hechod emafrich haKal Vachomer. One must be limited and bound by the dayo rule, i.e. that the derivative cannot be any greater than the source, even if it's going to render the Kal Vachomer useless. And when we say useless, once again, we mean that the information that I that the Kal Vachomer would have taught me through the dayo is information that's already in the pasuk, in the scriptures. Now the Gemara, and we have a long question that opens the Gemara. Rabbi Tarfon less lay dayo. Does Rabbi Tarfon deny the dayo rule, namely the limitation that the derived information in a Kal Vachomer cannot be any greater than the original source? Dayo doraisohu. This concept of dayo is itself rooted in the Torah, the Sanya. And we have a Tanaic source. The Tanaic source cites an incident in the Chumash where Miriam had spoken what we term Loshon Hora, ill speech, we'll say, concerning Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Almighty expressed his resentment to her behavior. And as a result, she suffered tsoras, which tsoras is a form of ritual impurity, defilement, which caused her to be set out of the camp of Israel, set aside, removed from the congregation of Israel, to dwell outside the camp for a period of 7 days. So that her punishment, which was, we'll say, heavenly, was a punishment for 7 days. Now, with that background in mind, we read this source. Midin Kal Vachomer Ketzad. What would one say through Kal Vachomer logic? Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, v'yovio yorot yorak b'foneo, halo sikolem shivas yomim. And here we're not going to get involved with the literal translation of the pasuk. Just note that there's a continuation, and we've written this on the side. You can see we have a starred a note, and it says Tisoger shivas yomim michutz la machane v'achar te'osef. Without translating the pasuk literally, it says that the Almighty said to Moshe Rabbeinu that if one's a father would be very upset with the child, the parent would banish the child for 7 days. And as a result, Miriam, following the analogy of a parent banishing the child, would banish them for 7 days. Now, that is what we see in the pasuk, and the pasuk describes how a father would punish his child for 7 days. Well, Kal Vachomer l'shchina arba asar yom. If a mortal parent in his anger expresses it for 7 days, when the Shechina, when the divine presence is enraged, so all the more so the anger should be expressed, or can be expressed, manifest for 14 days. Why did we jump from 7 to 14? So there's a discussion in the Tosfos, Dibur Masel Kal Vachomer, which we're not going to get into right now. All we're going to point out is that logically, one could appreciate that if a mortal parent is angry as a result of child's misbehavior for 7 days, the divine presence could very well be angry where there was a violation of God's will for 14 days. And yet, in the case of Miriam, who upset the Almighty, who upset the Shechina, how long was she banished for? Only 7 days. And why is that? Because the Kal Vachomer used as its source how long a parent would be angry. And we said a parent would be angry for 7 days, would banish the child for 7 days. And as a result, we say, Elo, Dayo Labo Min Adin. Dayo means, let it be enough for information that's Bo Min Hadin, that's a result of Kal Vachomer logic, Liyois Kanidon. That the resultant information, the derived information, shall be no more than the nidon, the source of the information. So you see from here that the concept of dayo is dictated from the scripture itself. How then can Rabbi Tarfon in the Mishnah conclude that Karen in a private domain will pay more than Karen in a public domain, when Karen in the private domain is derived from Karen in the public domain? The Gemara answers, Ki les le dayo hecho de mifrach kal vachomer. When is it that Rabbi Tarfon denies the restriction or the cap placed upon logic through dayo? That's when information that would be derived through the kal vachomer would be unnecessary. In other words, I would not need the Kal Vachomer for that information, because that information is contained already in a verse. So in a case like that, the Kal Vachomer says, go beyond your source. However, Hecha Delo Mafrich Kal Vachomer Is Le Dayob, where the Kal Vachomer is not, the information that arrived through the Kal Vachomer is not rendered useless by the dayo, so then Rabbi Tarfon accepts the dayo. And here the Gemara explains. Hosam, in the case of Miriam, Shiva Dishchina Loksivi. There is no scripture indicating how long the Shechina would express its rage. The whole concept of the anger of the Shechina, the whole outcome or concept of God's being angry is itself derived through Kal Vachomer. Also Kal Vachomer, the Kal Vachomer then came along and said, as far as the length of time is concerned, there are two points here. There's the rage of the Shechina and for how long. So the amount of time of the Shechina is not written whatsoever. Also Kal Vachomer, Aisi Arbesar. The Kal Vachomer then came and told us that, after telling us that if a father, after a father's anger can be manifest for 7 days, so the Shechina's anger can be manifest for 14 days. Did we know anything about how long the Shechina's anger would be before this Kal Vachomer? Nothing. We knew nothing about it. Nothing about the length of time Shechina anger could be manifest. So through the Kal Vachomer, I would have said, if a father's anger is manifest for 7 days, the Shechina, certainly God's own anger, could be manifest for 14 days. Also, dayo, apik shiva va'oiki shiva. The dayo principle then comes along and says, hey, you're deriving length of Shechina anger from what? From mortal parent anger? And mortal parent anger is manifest for a week, for 7 days. So you can't extend the Shechina length of anger any more than the source. So the Dio comes and subtracts seven, leaving seven. So that is information derived from the Kal Vachomer, does that remain in the case of Miriam? Yes, because I didn't know anything about the length of Shechina anger to begin with. After applying the Kal Vachomer, I got up to 14, and then I applied Dio, knocking it down to 7. That 7 days of Shechina anger is not accounted for in a verse. The only way I know about it is through the Kal Vachomer logic. So in a case like that, I am able to apply the Dio to reduce how far I would have gone with the Kal Vachomer. Aval Hocha. But in the case of Karen, Chatzi Nezek Ksiv, the need to pay half damages, that's not learned through Kal Vachomer. That's written in the Torah. Where would one pay Chatzi Nezek? Well, as far as the Torah is concerned, all over, wherever Karen does damage. V'osa Kal Vachomer v'aisi Chatzi Nezek Achrina v'naasa Nezek Sholem. The Kal Vachomer that we saw in the Mishnah raised the amount Karen would pay in a private domain to full damages. Idarshis Dayo, if you're going to apply the Dayo restriction in the case of Karen, and how what would happen then? I'll say, well, since Karen is the source of the Kal Vachomer starts with Karen in a public domain, Karen in a private domain cannot be any more than Chatzi Nezek. But if I say that, then the Africhle Kal Vachomer, I'll have no information that the Kal Vachomer was responsible for. Because if I knock down the Karen in the private domain to Chatzi Nezek, well, that Chatzi Nezek payment was already accounted for by the verse, by the psukim. What am I left with as far as the Kal Vachomer? Nothing. Therefore, Rabbi Tarfon says, in a case like that, I don't knock down the product of the Kal Vachomer. The derived information in that case can be, in fact, greater than the source. For Rabbonon, the Rabbonon's response is focusing on the case of Miriam itself. In the case of Miriam itself, the Rabbonon disagree with Rabbi Tarfon's approach. For Rabbonon, Shiva Dishchina Ksivi Tisoger Shivas Yomim. In the Pasuk, and we read the Psukim already above, on the side of the Gemara, the phrase Tisoger Shivas Yomim is found in Pasuk Yud Dalet of Bamidbar Perek Yud Beis. That phrase is a reference to the Almighty's, the Shechina's length of wrath. And the Kal Vachomer, it's true, would have enabled me to say, if a mortal father can manifest his rage for 7 days, the Shechina for 14 days. Comes along the Dio, according to the Rabbonan, and says, nope, it's not going to be 14, it's going to be 7. But those 7 days are already accounted for in the verse, according to the Rabbonan. So I ask, what are you left with by way of information derived through the Kal Vachomer? Nothing. That's okay. That's the opinion of the Rabbonan, that Dio is to be applied even when you're mafrich the Kal Vachomer, even when you render the Kal Vachomer as fruitless, as yielding us no information. Verbi Tarfon, what is his response to what the Rabbanon just indicated? Hahu tisoger, that citation is not a reference to the length of anger of the Shekhinah, but rather that phrase tisoger shivas yomim is didarshinon dayahu. It's coming to teach me that the Torah expects me to apply the concept of dayo. But of course, according to Rabbi Tarfon, where the Kal v'chomer is not rendered useless. V'rabbonon, well, according to the Rabbonon, so then where do they know their opinion from? After all, Rabbi Tarfon's response seems to be a solid response. So the Rabbonon say, Ksiv kro achrino, there's another pasuk, Vatisoger Miriam. So as far as a source for Dayo, according to the Rabbanan, they have Vatisoger Miriam from in Pasuk Tes Vav. And we have that written on the side above where in reading the Pasuk you see it says Vatisoger Miriam Michutz Lamachne Shivas Yomim Ve'om Lo Nosa Ad HaYosef Miriam. And Miriam was banished from the camp for 7 days. Indicating that you can't extend the Kal v'chomer any further than the original source. And the original source was the father's anger for 7 days, so the Shekhinah's anger cannot extend or did not extend more than 7 days based on Dayo. For Rabbi Tarfon, now what does Rabbi Tarfon say about this? Here you have a Vatisoger Miriam could serve as the source for Dayo. Why then, according to Rabbi Tarfon, does he need then two sources for Dayo when he cited that Tisoger Shivas Yomim was a source for Dayo? So Rabbi Tarfon explains how who the Afil Ba'almo Darshino Dayo Velo Toimar Hocho Mishum Kvoide Shel Moshe Avo Ba'almo Lo. The Rabbi Tarfon says, I need an additional source for Dayo, meaning in general, in all other areas we apply Dayo, and one should not think that only over here, because of the honor and dignity of Moshe, do we say limited to the punishment to 7 days, but in general we would not. So the extra pasuk comes to tell me, komash malon, the extra pasuk comes to tell me that I apply Dayo in general as well. But once again, just to review the main point, as far as Rabbi Tarfon is concerned, the reason in the case of Miriam we were able to apply Dayo is because we had no pasuk indicating the length of anger of the Shekhinah. Now, as we go on in the Gemara, we glance at the side where we have a Nosei / Mivneh heading. A double underline appears. And we also have Roman numerals 1, and you'll see on Amud Beis a Roman numeral number 2. What is the Gemara about to do in this upcoming section? Nisyonos, we're reading on the side of the Gemara. Nisyonos lahavi deos tanoim. These are attempts. And when we say attempts, oftentimes they are rejected. And we'll see how in our sugya they are rejected. But in the meantime, attempts to bring forth opinions, shelo dorshim dayo, that are not limited by dayo. In other words, they'll take a Kal v'chomer, apply Kal v'chomer logic, and have the derivative greater than the source. Af agav delo mafrich Kal v'chomer. Even in a case where the original information would have been derived totally through the Kal v'chomer. In other words, even in cases where I would have been able to have part of the conclusion derived from the Kal v'chomer, I'm nevertheless going to extend the Kal v'chomer even further than the original source. Again, as we said earlier, this sounds a little bit abstract, but by going into the Gemara text, we'll see it in a more concrete fashion. What are the cases that the Gemara will introduce in this attempt? Number one, keri shel zav. Keri is male semen. A Zav is a male that experienced a different kind of emission that's unique to males as opposed to women. The keri, the semen emitted by a man who was a Zav. The Gemara will show through a Kavachomer Shemetame that keri imparts impurity gam b'masa, not only by touching it, but masa means through carrying it or supporting it, even without direct physical contact with the substance itself. Number two, on Amud Beis, the Gemara will introduce a topic, Mappets. Mappets is a woven mat, like a reed mat. Mekabel Tumas Meis is subject to defilement through the dead. Afilu L'Shiva Yomim, even for a full 7 days. A bow tie shape will be used, and we indicate in our note the Komaisi law, that is the expression you'll see highlighted with the bow tie. Mare, this comes to show, Ad Hechon Lomdim Me'akavachomer, how far we're going to extend the information through a Kavachomer, V'ein Omrim Dayo, and we're not going to cap it, we're not going to limit it to the source of the Kal Vachomer. And in these cases, the initial thinking is that the derived information, I should say, all of the information, not just the Kal Vachomer, the extended section, but all of the information was derived through Kal Vachomer without any scriptural reference. And we see that even though had I kept the Kal Vachomer, I would have been left with Kal Vachomer derived information, we nevertheless don't cap it, and we allow the Kal Vachomer logic to go even further than the original source of information. Now, the Gemara. Omar le Rav Papa Labaye, Veho hai tano Deloy Dorish Dayo V'afagav Delo Mafrich Kal Vachomer. We're going to now see, Rav Papa says, to Abaye, we have a Tanaic source where the Tano does not limit himself through Dayo, even though had he limited himself, I still would have had information derived through the Kal Vachomer. Before we go into the Gemara text, the topic at hand is something that many of you maybe are not that familiar with, so any words of introduction can serve us in good stead. You know, first of all, then you note that we have a long marking with, to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text with the Roman numeral number 1 and the double underline indicating that this, we'll say, question that Rav Papa presents lasts all of these lines. At the end of this particular long, was a question in the middle of the line, you'll see how the Gemara rejects this. Now, we also have a little diagram in the margin. The diagram heading is She'elas Mafteach. We call the key question. Mahu, and we're reading what we have, our note in the side. Mahu abasis. What is the basis? Letumas mago shall carry shall zav. The imparting of ritual impurity as a result of touching the carry, the semen emitted by a zav. Okay, what is the basis of that information? Maga is, we'll call, a low form of impurity, or an initial level of impurity. There are other ways of impurity being imparted. Maga is one, we'll call it a basic form of imparting of impurity, and we indicated a little earlier. Another form is masa. Masa is a case where you are supporting an item of tuma without actually touching it. You can have it, let's say, this tuma on a plate, and you're holding the plate. But at the same time, while you're holding the plate, and the plate in the plate is a source of tuma, the person holding the plate will become tummy. That's called tumas masa. In the meantime, our key question is, what's the source of information concerning the maga level of tuma when it comes to touching the keri emitted by a zav? We have two arrows indicating two different paths. One way of achieving that information, that the keri of a zav will be metame, is through kal vachomer. There's another option that we'll see in the Gemara, that no, maga of the zav is a posuk. A posuk de mikra laila. There, the posuk describes keri, semen, in general, not specifically of a zav, but in general, de lo gora mi adam tohar, the keri of a zav might be mitama based on the posuk. He, that keri is no weaker than keri from a ritually pure individual, from a man who was not tame prior, who experienced this emission, the keri emission. That keri, we know, is mitame. So the keri from a zav should not be any less. So now we turn to the Gemara. Rav Papa pointed out to Abaye that we have a Tana that does not limit the kal vachomer whatsoever. He doesn't apply Dayo, even where, having applied Dayo, I still would have been left with kal vachomer information. Disanya. Keri bezav. Minayin. From where do I know that the keri emission from azav would impart impurity? We look at Rashi further up on the page. Keri bezav minayin. Kiryu shelzav minayin shete hatipa metame b'mag v'masa. The keri emitted by a man who was already tame as a zav. From where do I know that that droplet of semen would metame impart impurity through maga, through contact, and masa, through support? Ke tipa shel zov. Like we treat the droplet of zov. Zov is a different kind of emission from a male, but we're asking here, how do I know that the keri of a zav would be treated like the zov material from a zav, which is metame b'magu v'masa? The kaimusachas nida, shemetame v'masa, the zov material that comes forth from a male, is metame not only through contact, but through support as well. And Rashi points out the keri lo domi lozov, the liquid that we refer to as keri or semen, is not the same as the liquid emission of a zav, of zov. Kinomber kusim zov demi loivin beitz amuzeres, keri demi loivin beitz shen amuzeres. The zov emission does not resemble the keri emission, and the Rashi quotes the Gemara in Maseches Nida that points out what that difference is. But for our purposes, zov and keri are two different emissions. So our question right now, the focus of our discussion, is the keri from a person who's already a zav. How do I know that it's metame be maga and masa? And now the vidinhu. Vidin means we'll apply logic. Ma tohor betohor, tome betome. Sounds a little bit like a riddle, so we fill in the missing, the necessary information. Tohor is a reference to saliva. Betohor, saliva coming from a pure individual. Saliva from a regular individual who's not defiled, saliva is pure, meaning it doesn't communicate any tuma. Tomei betomei. But the saliva coming from a person who is a zav, that saliva renders impurity. Tomei betohar, keri. Semen emission from a person who is tohar, that semen emission is itself a source of tuma. Eino din shie tamei b'tamei. All the more so, the semen emission from a person who is a zav, who's already tamei. So the keri will certainly be a source of tuma. Now, when we say a source of tuma, what we're establishing is that the keri coming from a zav can impart impurity. Well, but how? The komaisi law, the Tanaic source, carries this or draws this. Means of tumah communication is bein lemago bein lemasa. In other words, the carry from a zav can impart impurity not only through contact but through carriage. So that the carry of a zav will be like the roke, like the saliva from a zav. Ve'amai. In a rhetorical fashion, we ask, well, why should the carry of a zav go that far that it's mitama not only b'maga but also b'masa? Namo, why not say as follows? Ahani kal v'chomer l'maga. The kal v'chomer information will enable me to declare the carry of a zav mitama through contact. Ahani dayo lafuke maso, and will apply dayo to exclude the carry of a zav from masa. The chitema, you might try to argue against this by saying, lemago lo itzdru kavachomer de lo gora migavra tor. You might say that, well, as far as the contact capacity of a carry of a zav, the contact capacity of imparting tumo can't be any less than the carry of a person that's tahor. And the carry of a person that's tahor, we know from verses, is metame bemaga, communicates tumo through contact. And if I'm going to apply the dayo and say, limit the carry of a zav to mago type tumo communication, I'll have nothing left from the kal v'chomer, because that information of mago of keri being metame through mago, that's already accounted for by verses. To that we will say, no, it's derech, not so. Rather, I need the kal v'chomer even for mago of the keri of the zav. Why? Why wouldn't I say, well, it's not any less, it's not any weaker than maga carry of a person tahor? Not true. Itzurich, I need the kal v'chomer. Saga deita chamino. Without the kal v'chomer, I might have thought, mikre lailoksiv. The pasuk that describes carry, semen, as being metame, says mikre lailo. When is carry metame b'maga? When? Mishi carry goram loy. Goreim lo, when the keri is the source of the individual's defilement, yotzozeh, to the exclusion of a zav, shein kirio goreim lo elo dovar achir goram lo. His source of defilement is not the keri. His source of the defilement is the zov emission. Oh, so someone whose source of defilement is zov and not the keri, maybe his keri doesn't communicate tuma. Komash Molon, so the kal v'chomer is coming to teach me that the keri of a zav as well is metamer even mago. So I need the kal v'chomer for the mago level of tuma communication. If that be the case, it's true. The kal v'chomer might have led me to say that the keri of the zav metama b'maga and maso as well, but I can allow the kal v'chomer, I can allow the dayo to limit the kal v'chomer information to mere mago, and I wouldn't be undoing the kal v'chomer or rendering it useless, as we just said that the kal v'chomer is needed even for the mago level of keri shel zov metama. And yet, in reality, what does the Tana do? We saw in the bow tie above the Tana extends carry of Azav to Metamana not just through Maga but through Maso as well. So we see from here a Tana that does not apply Dayo even when the Kavachomer still would have had use. The Gemara rejects this. The Gemara is going to reject it by saying, before we read the very short words of the Gemara is going to be telling us that as far as Tumas Maga of the Keri of Azav, that in fact is included in the Pasuk. We mentioned the Pasuk before of Mikra Laila. In that Pasuk, the Gemara now goes on to say, Midi Velo Dovar Achir Ksiv. Does that Pasuk say that Keri is Metama only when that's the source of defilement of the individual and not some other source defiling individual? Not so. The Pasuk doesn't say Velo Dovar Achir. And therefore, from the Pasuk itself, Keri is Metama Bemaga unlimited to a Tohor person. But all people, even a Zav, his carry is Metama, as far as the Pasuk is concerned, is Metama through Maga. If I darshan Dayo and exclude the Maso possibility, I'm going to be left with Maga, but that Maga information is contained in the Pasuk as far as we're concerned. Therefore, the Kavachomer that this Tana suggests will enable me to go to the Masa form of Tuma communication as well. If I don't go that far, I'm not going to be left with any Kavachomer derived information. So this source above is not like we thought when we introduced it as an example of a Tana that doesn't darshan dayo even when the Kavachomer is not rendered useless. In this case, if I were to darshan dayo and limit the carry of Azav to Maga, I would in fact be excluding, or I would in fact be rendering the Kavachomer useless. As you can see, we have a brackets, and use your bracket length indicator, and you can see how far this goes. Taking us to Omid Bey's 6 lines down from the top, after the bracketed section, you see Omar Le Rav Acha Midifti Le Ravina, and he, Rav Acha, does the same thing structurally, what Rav Papa was trying to do, introducing a Tanaic source which seems to extend a Kavachomer and derive information through a Kavachomer where the derivative is greater than the source, even though I would have been able to apply Dayo and seemingly remain with information that's derived from the Kavachomer. Now, before we get to that, we'll go now to the bracketed section where we're going to be investigating which Tana, who is the Tana that we want to name, who is the Tana that holds that which we said above, that Shichvazera of Ezav is Metama even Bemasa. Now the Gemara. And we have a long question marking, so do take note of that. Uman Tana Dishamisle Dioma Shichvazera Shel Zav Metama Bemasa. Who is the Tana, by way of name, that would say that the semen coming forth from a person who's defiled as a Zav is Metama even Bemasa? Lo Rebbe Lozer, velo Rebbe Yoshua. It doesn't appear to be either Rebbe Eliezer or Rebbe Yoshua. Disnan. We have a Tanaic source in which these names appear. And hopefully things will be clear that these Tanoim don't hold that which we said above, that the carry of a Zav is Metama even Bemaka, even Bemasa. Disnan. Shichva Zera Shel Zav Metame Bemaga V'ein Metame Bemasa Divrei Rebbe Eliezer. Clearly, Rebbe Eliezer is not the author of that which we said above. V'Rebbe Yeshua Omer Af Metame Bemasa, the carry of a Zav Shechvah Zera and Keri are interchangeable terms. I should have pointed that out earlier. But this source opens with the word Shechvah Zera, that's Keri, of a Zav, is mitama even b'masa, but don't get excited. It says, Lefi she'i efshe b'lo tzichsuche ziva, because within the semen coming forth from a Zav, there are droplets of the other substance, the ziva substance, which is mitama b'masa. Ad kan lokum Rabbi Yeshua Hassam. Rabbi Yeshua himself, who spoke about Tumas Masa, says so, Elo Shiev Shebelo Tzitzri Ziva. Only because of the presence of the droplets of Ziva that are mixed in with the Keri coming forth from him. Ha Lav Hochilo. If you had pure Keri from a Zav, it would not be Metame Bemasa. Ah, but we have a source above indicating that the Keri of Azav is Metame Bemasa. Elo, Hai Tanahu. It will be the source above, where we had a source followed by a bow tie. That Tana is Elo Hai Tanahu. It's the following source. Now we're going to present a Tanaic source. There's no name in the source, but the author of the following source is the same author as the source above. It takes a while for the Gemara to develop the answer, so stay tuned. What does it say in the following source? Now, the following source opens pretty much in the way the Gemara quotes it, in the middle of a presentation. It says, Lamalo Mehen, above them. That's very abstract, very unclear, but we look in Rashi. Lamala mehen mishlosha avos tumos desheres shechazera tomei meis. There are primary forms of defilement: the sherets, the dead creeping creature. There are eight of them listed in the Torah that communicate defilement: shechazera semen, tomei meis, defiled to the dead. And above them, there is the following additional forms of tumah. These that we mentioned, sheret, shechva zera, and tomei meis, are mitama only through contact, through mago. Now, lamalo mehen, above them, more stringent than them, if you will, we continue at the top of Omid Beis, zovo shel zav, veroikai, Veshichva Zaro, Umeime Raglov, Vidam Hanido, Metamin Bein Bemago, Bein Bemaso. We don't have to dwell on all of the examples, but what we've highlighted with our markings, we want to focus on. This list, starting from the beginning of this Omid, Zova Shozav, this list are things, substances that are Metame, not only through contact, but through Maso, as well, masa support as well. What do we see in this list? We see zova shel zav, that's the zov emission of a zav, roko his saliva, and shechva zaro, the semen of a zav. There are more substances mentioned, and they're not relevant for us right now. The Gemara says, and what are we supposed to see over here? We're supposed to see in this source that the shechva zera, i.e. the keri of a zav, is metame, not only b'mago, but b'masa as well. Exactly what we said at the beginning of this section of Gemara. We were looking for someone that holds that way, and here you see it. The Gemara says, well, v'dilma hochinami lefi shievsha b'lo tzichzuche zifa. You might say, well, the shechva zaro, the gimel reference, first line in the middle of the first line here, that shechva zaro is metame b'masa. Why? Because it has droplets of ziva mixed in. If that were the case, then the positioning of these different sources of tumah would have been different. Im kein lisnei, let it be taught, let shechva zaro be taught gabi zovo, right after zovo, right after the aleph example. Because if shechva zaro is metama b'ma so, as a result of the zov mixed in, it would have been appropriate to include it together with the aleph example of zova shel zav. Maishna dikotoni lo gabi roko. Why is the gimel example of shechva zaro taught after roch, saliva. After, in other words, the saliva serves as a block between the case of the zov, the example of the zov, and the example of the keri, indicating that the shechva zara is not connected to the zov, elamishum de osi me roko, but rather it's because the power of shechva zara to metame b'masa is derived from roch, as we saw on Omen Aleph, where we saw the original Kal Vachomer in the framed source right after that double underline, where we said it sounded a little bit like a riddle, where it said Uma Torah b'Torah Tome b'Tome, which was a reference to Roch, from which we derived the Keri. That's why the example Gimel here of Shechva Zara, the Keri of the Zav, is found after Roch, because it's derived logically from Roch, and the Shechva Zera then of a Zov is Metame Be Masa, regardless of the Zov droplets. Even without any Zov droplets, it would Metame even Be Masa. On the side of the Gemara, we have a Nosei / Mivne heading, which reads, Minayin Shemapitz, from where do we know that a reed mat, Mekabeles Tumas Meis L'Shiva Yomim, for 7 days. In other words, if you would have a reed mat in the same room, the same overshadow or cover or ceiling, under the same ceiling of as a corpse, that reed mat would become tome for 7 days. How do we know that? And we indicate Shlavim Balimud, there are stages in this discussion. Number one, Kal Vachomer Mizav. We're going to initially present a Kal Vachomer from Zav. Number two, Gezeirah Shava. Then we're going to see the use of not a Kal Vachomer from Zav, but a different approach, which is the Gezeirah Shava method, word comparisons, where the words Beged V'Or, those words Beged and Or, a little fabric and leather, haksuvim besheretz uvemeis. We find those terms, beged or, are written in the Torah in the context of a sheretz and in the context of mace, the dead. The Gemara will be pointing out different concepts in gzeirah shava making, mufne mitzad echon, words that appear extra on one side of the equation, which is two sides, and mufne mishnei tzadim, words that are extra on both sides of the equation, and gzeres hakosuv v'chibastem v'gomer. There will be a scriptural teaching that will be introduced by the words of the Torah v'chibastem, which we'll see when we get to it. The Gemara. Omer le Rav Acha midifti le Ravina. Faha hai Tana, is it not so that the following Tana, lo dorish dayo, he doesn't apply the dayo cap, v'yafa gavda lo mafri kal vachomer, even though, had he applied the dayo restriction, I still would have been left with information from the kal vachomer. Desanya, mapitz b'meis minayin. From where do I know that a mappet, a reed mat, is susceptible to tumas mace, to defilement of the dead? V'din hu. Logic can get me to that. Uma pachin kitanim shetorim bezav metame b'mace. Mind you, pachin kitanim is small vessels whose mouth and the neck of the vessel are very narrow, so narrow that you wouldn't be able to get your finger into it. Those are called pachim ketanim. They are tohor bezav. If a zav has contact with them, they do not become tomei. I should point out that these pachim ketanim are earthenware vessels, and earthenware vessels are metame, become tome only through their airspace, not through contact with their outside. And since they have a very narrow neck, so much so that you can't get your finger in it, the Zav is not able to metame it, the Pachim Ketanim. And yet, metame b'meis. Pachim Ketanim become Tomei, even though they are Pachim Ketanim, when it comes to defilement to the dead. Mappets, reed mat, which is more susceptible to Tumah, in the sense that Shemetame Bezav, Beinu Din, Shiyetame Bemeis, all the more so, it shall become Tomei, defiled to the dead. The Komaisi law, and we derive the defilement of the mat, Beinu Tumah Sera, Beinu Tumah Shiva, not only for a one-day length of Tumah, Tumas Erev, Tumah till sundown, but Tumah for a full 7 days. V'amai, why does the Tana go that far and say that Mapitz B'meis is Mekabel Tumah for 7 days? Emo, let us say as follows, Ahani Kavachomer L'Tumas Erev, let the Kavachomer be effective for Tumah for 1 day, Vahani dayo lafuke tuma shiva, and apply the dayo to exclude tuma for a full 7 days. In other words, as far as tuma of the mappets is concerned, mappets b'meis, I know nothing about its length in the realm of tumas meis. I know nothing, not 1 day, not 7 days. So could I not have said, let the Kavachomer teach me Tumas Erev, and the Dayo exclusion would have excluded those additional days, the full 7 days, leaving me with 1 day of Tuma after applying the Dayo. We should point out that the Mappets, in the case of a Zav, is Tomei Tumas Erev, Tomei just for the 1 day, just till the evening. And we are making a Kavachomer from the Zav to Mappets B'meis. So even the information concerning the Tumas Erev is derived through a Kavachomer. So by applying Dayo, I wouldn't have rendered the Kavachomer totally useless. And yet, what do we see over here? We see that the din of Tumas Mappets B'meis is extended to a full 7 days. The Gemara rejects this. Omar Le Ravino responds, Kvar Roma Nihale Rav Nachman Bar Zechaya Le Abaye. This issue was already raised by Rav Nachman Bar Zechaya to Abaye, Yom Le Abaye, and Abaye responded, Tano Mi Mappets B'Sheretz Maisi Law. The Tano derives Tumas Meis by the Mappets from Sheretz. And he does this with a Gezeira Shava, not through Kalvachomer. So the Tana is going to get to 7 days of Tumas Meis for a reed mat, but through a totally different method. And it's through ultimately through the Gezeira Shava method. Ultimately, we're going to have to show you how the Gezeirah Shavah works, and that this Gezeirah Shavah is made up of words that are truly extra otherwise. So why does the Torah write what appears to be extra words? To serve as the basis of making this Gezeirah Shavah. Before we get into the Gemara, let us get a feel, a taste of the psukim with the key words. No need to focus on translations at this point. On the side of the Gemara, we've included psukim information. And we've noted on the side in the margin, Beged Va'or, Haksuvim, the terms Beged Va'or, fabric and leather are written in the Torah in three areas. Besheretz, the dead, creeping, crawling creatures that communicate Tumah, they're known as Sheretz. There are eight of them in the Torah. That they, when dead, they communicate Tumah to Beged and Or. The Mace, Beged and Or become defiled to the dead, if they're in the same room as a corpse, for example. Ubeshichva Zera, semen that has contact with a Beged or Or, will semen will communicate Tumah. Is it truly necessary to write Beged and Or in all three places? Now, let's look at some psukim. Vayikra, Perek Yudala, Pasuk Lamed Beis, which deals with Sheretz. It says in that pasuk, V'chol asher yipol olav mehem b'moisam, any dead Sheretz material that falls on these things, Yitame, Mikol Kli Eitz, O Beged, O Or, O Sak, Kol Kli asher yeosem olocha bohem, B'mayem yuvah v'tomei ado erev v'toyer. In this pasuk, it says that Sheretz material, Sheretz meat that falls on, amongst other things, Beged or become Tomei till the evening. And then you beforehand you would immerse it in a mikveh, and then sundown arrives and they become Tor. But what's the point here? You see Beged and Or written by Sheretz. Now another pasuk by Midbar Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Chof, which deals with the topic of the dead. It says, V'chol Beged, V'chol Kli Or, V'chol Maseizim, V'chol Kli Eitz Tischato. Without translating, what you see here is that Beged and Or are subject to communication of Tumah through the dead. In Vayikra, Perek Tezva, Pasuk Yudin, which is a pasuk appearing in the context of Shichvas Zerah, it says, V'chol Beged, V'chol Or, Asher Yealov Shichvas Zerah, V'chubas B'mayim V'tomei Ela Orev. Well, you see, once again, Beged and Or are written in the context of Shichvas Zerah. Let us point out another vital piece of information, which will be discussed in the Gemara. Is it really necessary to spell all of this out, as we just read in the Psukim? We note the following on the side, in our margin. Sheretz u'meis, these two forms of Tumah, Sheretz and Meis, hukshu l'shichvazer, are compared to Shichvas Zera elsewhere. They're compared to Shichvas Zera. So would it not be enough for the Torah to spell out the details by Shichvas Zera that Beged and Or are subject to becoming defiled through Shichvas Zera and remain silent regarding Beged and Or and the other two psukim that we cited? And where do we see this, by the way? In Vayikra Perichov Beis Pasuk Dalit, it says, Ish ish mizera Aaron v'utzoru alzav bekodeshim lo yochal ad asher yitar vanogea b'chol tomei nefesh o ish asher teitzei mimenu shichva zera. Notice in this pasuk you see a reference to tomei meis. Tomei nefesh is tomei meis, and you see shichva zera. Let's read one more pasuk. This is the next pasuk hey. O ish asher yiga b'chol sheretz. Asher yitam yitma lo. Now, here you see a reference to Sheretz. So in the pasuk, in these psukim that focus on, you have reference in these psukim to Shichvas Zera. Compared to Shichvas Zera, in these psukim are Tomei Nefesh, which is Mace, and Sheretz as well. Would it not have been enough for the Torah to write that Beged and Or become Tomei by Shichvas Zera? And I know that the rules of Tomei Meis and Sheretz are like Shichvas Zera in the context of, in the context of, let's say, Tumah communication. So why does the Torah have to spell out Beged and Or again by Sheretz and Meis when it already mentioned Beged and Or by the Shichvas Zera? All of this will become pertinent when we get to the Gemara text. So now let's turn to the Gemara. Abaye responded to Rav Nachman Bar Zechaya by saying that the Tana above didn't derive Mapitz B'meis Tomei Shiva through Kal V'chomer, but rather through Gezeiros Shavas. Tono, I'm reading again by where the number 2 appears with a triangle. That on that line, the Gemara says, Tono mi mapetz b'sheretz maisi lo. The Tano above really gets to his conclusion regarding mapetz being tomei mace through a gzera shava, not through a kavachomer. V'hochi ko'omar. Mapetz b'sheretz minayin. How do I know that a reed mat becomes tomei through a sheretz? V'din hu. Logic. As follows. Uma pachem ketanim shetorim bezav tomeim b'sheretz. Mind you, pachem ketanim, which are tohor by azav, yet become tomei through sheretz. Mapetz shetomei bezav eino din shei tomei b'sheretz. A mapetz which is subject to tuma zav certainly will be subject to tuma through sheretz. Ela mapetz b'meis minayin. By the way, we didn't emphasize enough, but the opening of this source doesn't deal with mapetz b'meis, as you can see, and hence it's not really the focus of our attention. We are aiming for the seifa of this source as we continue reading. Ela mapetz b'meis minayin. That reed mat becomes tomei through defilement to the dead. From where do I know that? Ne'emar beged v'or b'sheretz, v'ne'emar beged v'or b'meis. The words beged and or appear, as we saw already in the verses we read, in the case of sheretz, and beged and or appear by meis. Ma beged v'or amur b'sheretz, mapetz tomei bo. Just like beged and or, which appear by sheretz, we know through the kavachomer that a mapetz is tomei. Af beged v'or amur b'meis, mapetz tomei bo. So too, the words begin or that appear by the mace include in that mapetz, even though a mapetz is not fabric nor is it leather, it's a reed mat, but nevertheless, what we've discovered by sheretz will apply equally to mace. Why? Because the words begin and or appear in both cases. That's called a gezereshav word comparison. Mufne. And here the Gemara points out that in order for a gezeirah shava to be solid, the words have to be really extra. Not necessary for the verse itself. And we say that these words, begin or extra, the ilo mufne, if they weren't extra, ika lemifrach, I would have been able to neutralize, to counter the Kal v'chomer, and say that I cannot learn mace from sheretz, insofar as sheretz has stringencies that you don't find by mace. Ma l'sheretz shekein metame b'chadosha. Sheretz is metame even if you have an adosha. Adosha is a very small amount of dead sheretz meat. Adosha is sometimes translated lentil size. Tomar b'mace, would you say the same standard by mace? Shein metamid b'chadosh ele b'kazayas. Kazayas is an olive quantity of corpse meat. Only that amount is metame in tumas mace, defilement of the dead, not a lesser amount. So how would I be able to rely on a gezera shava when the din of mace is derived from sheretz, when I know that sheretz is more stringent? So the Gemara says, lie. Interestingly enough, that word means in truth. Afnuye mufne. The words beged and or are extra, and therefore, I don't raise the question. When you have extra words, that overrides the logical question you might have raised. How do I know that the words are extra? And now that's what the Gemara goes on to show at this point. On the side of the Gemara, under our no sour topic heading, we have a hemshech, means a continuation of the topic, a mivne, structural note. The volcano, this volcano shape that you see, laharos, comes to show shagzeru shava, de beged v'or mufne, that the word comparison of beged are really extra. And we're going to show how they're extra in the case of sheretz and in the case of mace. We already alluded to this in our introduction, but now we'll see it in our Gemara. So we say that beged and or are really extra words. Michti. Sheretz iskish l'shichvazera. We know that Sheretz is compared to shichvazera. Dichtiv. These are psukim we read already. It said, O ish asher teitzei mimenu shichvazera. That was pasuk dalid. The somichle and pasuk it says, O ish asher yiga b'chol sheretz. So that sheretz and shichvazera are juxtaposed with one another. Uksiv be b'shichvazera, and in the context of shichvazera, it says v'chol beged v'chol or asher yielov shichvazera. So we know that shichvazera defiles beged and or, and I know that sheretz is compared to shichvazera. Beged v'or dekosav rachmona b'sheretz lomali. Why did the Torah have to bother spelling it out by sheretz in a separate pasuk? Shma mino lafnuye. This comes to show me that it's there as extra words enabling me to make the gzera shava regardless of the logical question that we raised before, that sheretz seems to be more stringent than mace in the quantity area. Question. V'akati mufna mitzad echad hu. The extra words appear only right now, at least on one side of the equation, in the case of sheretz. Does that mean that I can learn from sheretz to mace concerning the mappets? Well, that's fine according to the opinion that if it's mufne, it's extra, it's available mitzad echad on one side of the equation, then you can learn mace from sheretz vein meshivin and not raise any objection. Shapir, okay, things are fine. Ela laman diomar lemeidinu meshivin ma'ikol lemeimar. But according to the opinion that says that you can attempt to make a gezeirah shava, but if there's a logical question that can be raised, we will raise it and ruin the gezeirah shava. What are you going to say? How can I derive the din of mappets b'mace from the din of sheretz? So the Gemara says, "Demeis nami afnuye mufni." The words beged and or by mace are also extra. Michti mace iskish l'shichvazera. We know that mace is compared to shichvazera. As we saw, dichtiv. Here they quote the pasuk that we read before. Vanogea b'chol tamei nefesh, oish asher teitzim mena shichvazera. Tamei nefesh's mace is a reference to defilement of the dead, and shichvazera is mentioned in the same pasuk. Uksiv beba shichvazera, and regarding shichvazera, it said already v'chol beged v'chol or asher yielov shichvazera. Beged v'or dekosav rachmona b'meis lomali. Why does the Torah write the words beged and or by mace in a separate pasuk? I could have derived it from the beged and or that's written by shichvazera, to which mace is compared. Shmami no lafnuye. It shows us that the presence of beged and or that you find by mace is their extra. V'havei mufna mishnei tzadim. And now we've shown that you've got beged and or extra by sheretz and by mace as well, on both sides of the equation. Honicha, all of this works out well. Laman de omar, don mino v'uki v'asra. That means that in making a gzera shava, the initial stage of the gzera shava, mace is derived from tumas sheretz, establishing that mappets, just like other vessels, are tame. V'uki ba'asra means once I establish that mappets is subject to tumas mace, well, for how long? For that information, ba'asra means I go into its own location, meaning into the topic of mace itself. At this point, I'm not going to derive length of tuma from an outside source. So I'm going to derive length of tuma from the topic of mace itself, and we know that a mace communicates tuma for 7 days. Hence, there are two opinions in how you make a gzeirah shava and how you derive the information. So this opinion says, don mino, the initial point of information I derive from the gzeirah shava, and the additional point of information, namely, what was the initial point of information? That mappets is subject to tumah. What's the additional information? The length of the tumah. And In our whole discussion, we're saying that the Mappitz is Mekabel Tumas Meis for 7 days. How do you know that? Just like we said, initial stage of information that Mappitz is subject to Tumah, that me know, I learned from it, from the Sheretz. The 7 days, that I derive from the topic of Meis itself. 7 days, which we know applies to other vessels as well. There's another approach in how you make Gezeirah Shavos, namely that all the information is derived from the original source. If the original source for Mappitz become Mekabel Tumah is from Sheretz, so that's the first piece of information, don mino, that Mappitz is subject to Tumah to begin with. Umino, the additional information, namely the length of time, how long, that would also be derived from Sheretz. So there, and then I'm not going to be able to get to 7 days. 7 days is something unique to Tumas Meis, not to Sheretz. So there is an opinion that says when you make Gzeira Shava, you don't mino umino. You learn all points of information from the original source. How am I going to conclude that Mappitz reaches 7 days of Tumah? If I'm going to be learning from Sheretz, I'll be limited to Tumas Erev, evening Tumah for 1 day. Omar Rav, Omar Kro, there is a posuk that will say overrides the concept of don mino, mino, or overrules that approach. There's a posuk that says, V'chibastem begdechem b'yoyim ha-shvi. That's a pasuk. That's called, we refer to this as a gzeres hakosuv. And it says, kol tumas sha'atam metamin b'meis. All tumas, whenever you apply tumah to tumas meis, loy p'chusim yeshiva. Namely, any item that's subject that can become defiled through a corpse defilement will be no less than 7 days. Hence, even though elsewhere we might say don mino mino when you're making a gzeira shava between two topics and all the information will be derived from the original source, not so in the case of Tumas Meis. And hence by Tumas Meis we're telling you that whatever becomes tame through exposure to the corpse, through overshadowing of a corpse, will be no less than 7 days. Hence Mappitz b'meis is learned from this. Mappitz meis tome for 7 days is learned from this pasuk. And just as far as what we were trying to do along the way, we demonstrated was unsuccessful. We tried to show that there might be tanoim that say that we will not darshan dayo even when kavachomer information would still have been preserved had I darshan dayo. Not so. There is no Tana that we've seen here that holds that way. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.